on Sunday right around noon. He was in a motorcycle accident, and I got this message from him this morning. Feeling a little less bruised today. My ribs are not hurting when I breathe. Bruises are fading away, but still hurt a little. Please feel free to share about my angel that came to pray for me. That was amazing, and I feel so blessed that God sent someone to pray for me in my time of need. It happened here in DuPont. It wasn't on a highway. It was a mechanical error it wasn't his fault. But when it happened, he was down and doesn't remember falling, but was down, could not get up. And he said that there was a woman, an older woman, that came while he was on the ground and said, "Can I pray for you?" And that woman prayed for him. And I was like, "John, that was an angel." And he's like, "Yeah, it was." And so much mercy in that, not right near the hospital. It wasn't that far. He broke one bone, and we're going to pray for him this morning. But I just want to encourage us all. None of us are promised tomorrow. None of us are promised. But God, when we go through trials, when we go through tribulations, he's there, and he's with us. And as we look back, and John and Jeannie, and, you know, as he's telling that story, I was just like, God is so good. He's so faithful. And that woman was an angel. And how many of us, when we see somebody in need, we kind of, sometimes we shrink back and, well, you know, we're a little embarrassed. But you all, we can be a messenger of God to somebody in need. And as that woman was obedient, and it wasn't a long prayer, she just prayed for him. God, that's part, I'm going to talk about the kingdom of God. That's part of being in the kingdom and walking with Jesus. So we just rejoice in that. And I just want to release that testimony that God is with us. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And so, Lord, we just thank you that you are alive. Lord, we're still in the season of Easter. Every Sunday, Lord, we remember your resurrection. And that song we sang last Sunday, he walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives. He lives within my heart. And Lord, I pray that we would have eyes to see, ears to hear. And Lord, come. Pray that your Holy Spirit would anoint your word as it's read, as it's sung, as it's declared. Let's prepare our hearts to worship this morning. Revelation 1, verses 4 through 6.
John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Crown him with many crowns. We thank you that you are the living one, that you are the resurrected one, that you hold the keys of death and hell, that you are the one who is, who was, and who is to come. Lord, we just love you, and we say thank you. Thank you for defeating death. Thank you for going to the cross, being obedient even to death on the cross, for being raised again, and Lord, for leaving your spirit, for ascending into heaven and giving your spirit. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You are an ever-present help in time of trouble. Thank you that you're the God who hears. You're a God who sees. Lord, we thank you for your protection over John. Lord, we thank you for that woman who came and prayed for him. And Lord, I pray that we would be your vessels, that we would be those messengers, those angels, Lord, for other people in need. And Lord, I know that there are literal angels. There are literal, Lord, the writer of Hebrews says that we may entertain angels unaware. And Lord, I know that. But Lord, we can also be messengers of your healing, of your peace. And Lord, make us to be that kind of people. We bless John. We thank you that his bruises are diminishing. And we speak to that bone in his leg and we say, mend in Jesus' name. Pray that that bone would just seal up and he would not need surgery. We speak peace over him and peace over Jeannie. And Lord, we bless him and give you all glory, honor, and praise. Father, we thank you for Pam Pereira and great-grandson, another new great-grandson, and we bless that new baby in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, for Logan Prager, who is having, Lord, he's got lymphoma, and Lord, we pray that you would heal that kid. He's a young man, he's not a kid. That young man, Lord, we pray you'd bless him and heal him in Jesus' name. Strength to his bone marrow. Just inflammation in his body to go now in Jesus' name. just lift those names up to you. Every person, Lord, that we are thinking about right now in our mind that needs a touch from you, we ask you to bless them. We ask you to heal them. We ask you to restore them. I speak strength to bodies, healing of minds. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the Prince of Peace. We need you, Jesus. We need you. We invite you in. And we pray, Jesus, the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for these tithes, these gifts, and these offerings. We lift them up to you. Bless the givers, Lord. Bless this offering, that it would be used for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing the doxology. Gospel lesson is taken from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. You can remain standing and be seated if you'd like, but we're going to sing two verses of How Great Thou Art and flow right into majesty. Thank you. so Lord, I just yield. I give you all my study. I give you all my notes, all the things I want to say. But Lord, I pray that you would feed your people today, that I would say what only you want me to say. And Lord, come, feed your people. Anoint me. Give me the words to say to fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. In my weakness, be strong. Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name, amen. What is church? Is church a building? Is church a denomination? Is church people? Remember that little thing? We did this in those of you who taught children, help me. But here's the church, here's the steeple, and then here's all the people. You know, it's the kingdom of God, church, the people. What is the kingdom of God? There are seasons, and when we read our Bible, oftentimes there are things that the Holy Spirit will just highlight to you, and you read the Bible and the Lord just keeps pointing it out to you. And the kingdom of God is something probably the last at least 6 months that literally every time I read the Bible, the kingdom of God is just jumping off the page. I can't get away from it, and I've always been intimidated until you've heard me. I did it on Palm Sunday. I think I've done it a few times, I think, this year. I've always been intimidated to preach on the kingdom of God, partly because in seminary, you know, I had three systematic theology classes. You're reading myriads of books, and there's so much about the kingdom of God. It's just like, good night. I can't grasp it. How in the world can I even preach it? And my preaching professor always said that when you preach, if it's fuzzy in your mind, people are going to be clueless. So you better know what you're talking. You better know what you're talking about, so you can make it clear. And so, you know, in what, how many years of pastoral ministry? Maybe 15 years. Up until the last 6 months, I've never preached on the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit just keeps pointing that out to me. Kingdom of God, kingdom of God, kingdom of God. And so what I want to do this morning is give a really broad overview. There's so much more. I could preach on the kingdom of God every Sunday for a year, and there's still more to get. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. Think about that for a second. The kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. And I can say definitively, the church in the West over the last, 50 years, we've done a lot of talking. There's been a lot of preaching. There's been thousands or millions of books that have been written over the last 50 years. We're full of talk. You've heard teachers bloviate on so much talk, but there's been so little power. But Paul said the kingdom of God does not consist in just talk, but in power. And as I look at what's going on in our nation and our denomination in the world, if there's one thing, and I think there are several things, but if there's one thing I think we need to get a much bigger view on and a firm grasp on, it is the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? In brief, the kingdom of God is the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. It's where he rules and where he reigns. And back in 1 Samuel chapter 8, God has delivered the people. He's brought them into the promised land, and he has had judges before them. But the people come in 1 Samuel, I think it's chapter 8. Let me get my scriptures right. 1 Samuel chapter 8. And the people say to Samuel, you are old. That hurts, doesn't it? Samuel, you're old. You're old. And your sons don't walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a king to judge us like all the nations. But this thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king. And Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, obey the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me as king over them. Such a sad, sad, sad statement. God delivered the people. He wanted a relationship with them, but they weren't interested in that. They were looking at other people. They wanted to be like the other nations, and God just says, fine, fine. Sometimes when our kids are disobedient, sometimes you just give in. It's not worth the fight. Fine. And he said, they have not rejected you, Samuel. They have rejected me. It's so, so, so sad. But when God, the fullness of time came, and God sent his son, Jesus, who was he? Who was Jesus? Gabriel appeared to Mary and he says, greetings, highly favored one. And Mary's kind of concerned because she's like, what kind of greeting is this? But the angel says to her, God has chosen you, God has blessed you, and you're going to give birth. You're going to give birth to the Messiah. And she's like, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And he said, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And this baby that's going to be born from your womb, he is the very Son of God. Jesus was the king from birth. He was conceived. He was God. He was part, fully God, fully human. It just blows our mind to think about that. And the Magi see a star and they come and worship him. And when the angels announce his birth, what are the angels singing? The angels come and they are singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among whom among those with whom he has pleased. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news and great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Jesus was born. He was the king from his birth. The Magi knew it. The angels knew it. And the king came very humbly. It wasn't what you would expect. It wasn't in royalty in a nice, cushy castle. You know, we think of royalty kind of as medieval. It's kind of what comes to our mind. But that's not the way Jesus came in at all. Came very, very, very humbly. And what did this king come to do? In Matthew chapter 2, and when Joseph finds out that his fiance is pregnant, he's going to divorce her quietly, but an angel appears to Joseph and tells him in Matthew chapter 1, it says, don't worry, don't need to divorce her, she will bear a son, she's conceived of the Holy Spirit, Joseph, it's okay, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And right there, his name, Jesus, it literally means he who saves. So Jesus is the king that came. God wanted to rule the people, but the Hebrew people had rejected him. But he sends his son, Jesus, who is the king. He's God in the flesh. The angels worship him. And his name is Jesus. And his purpose is to save the people. Save people from their sins. Jesus came to restore. He came to save. And you see his cousin, John the Baptist. John the Baptist is preaching and repentance. And John the Baptist's message is repent for what? The kingdom of God is at hand. And he says, I'm not the Messiah, but one coming after me, I'm not worthy to bend down and untie his sandals. I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He's talking about Jesus. And when Jesus came to be baptized by John, John's like, I don't need to be, must do this to fulfill all righteousness. And in doing that, Jesus identified with you and me. He isn't. Some of us think that Jesus is far away from us. He doesn't like us. He's mad at us. But Jesus identifies with us in every way. He so wants a relationship with us. He didn't need to repent, but he did that to identify with us. The Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus, and from that moment on, what's Jesus' message? Jesus' message from that point on is, kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Repent and believe the gospel. Jesus starts preaching about the kingdom. And then what starts happening? He's preaching. He has authority when he teaches. People are amazed at his authority. But he doesn't just come with words. What happens when Jesus is preaching? There's healing and there's deliverance. And in Luke chapter 4, goes to his hometown synagogue, picks up the scroll, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted. And he starts listing all of those beautiful promises in Isaiah 61. And he says, today, this is fulfilled in your hearing. And that day, many days after, Jesus is healing people. He's laying hands on people. People blind eyes are seeing. People that have lost limbs, shriveled arms are growing out. People are being raised from the dead. And all of these powerful things are happening, which is a fulfillment of Isaiah 61. And in Luke chapter 8 and in Luke chapter 10, he has his 12 disciples and other people following him. But to the 12, he gives them authority. And what do they do? They go out and they start doing the same thing. They're healing people. God is coming through them in a powerful, powerful way. And the kingdom of God is at hand. And as his disciples are going out, in Luke chapter 10, verse 9, he says, heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And as Jesus is going, and as his ministry, his earthly ministry, is coming to a close, what is Jesus still talking about? That Passover I talked about last week and the week before, that says Jesus says, I've earnestly longed to have this Passover with you. What is Jesus still talking about? He is still talking about the kingdom of God. In Mark's version and in Luke's version, during the Last Supper, it says, truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. When Jesus is confronted by Pilate, what's happening? Pilate enters his headquarters. There's this political maneuvering. He goes to Herod. He goes to Pilate. But when he's with Pilate, Pilate entered his headquarters again. I'm in John chapter 8, verse 33. Pilate entered his headquarters and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priest have delivered you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, then I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world. Then Pilate said to him, so you are a king? Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And Pilate says to him, what is truth? Sounds like our society right now, doesn't it? Truth. Doesn't matter. Make up your own truth. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with two others, one on either side and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. But the chief priest said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but rather this man said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. What mockery, what irony in all of that. And as Jesus is hanging there on the cross, there's two thieves. One is mocking him, and the other is like, what are you doing mocking him? Let's look at that story just briefly. Luke chapter 23. Are you not the Christ? Save us, save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Kingdom is a very real place. Pilate didn't understand that. The people really did not understand that. There was conflict with demons. There was healing. There was deliverance. There was a kingdom clash when Jesus came. But he died. He died on the cross. They buried him. And if you look back in Genesis chapter 3, God tells Adam and Eve in the garden, don't eat from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you eat from it, at that moment, you will surely die. They're tempted, they eat it, and did Adam and Eve at that moment, did they drop dead when they ate that thing? They didn't. They ate it, their eyes are open, and they're ashamed. They saw their nakedness, and they're ashamed, and so they go and hide, but God comes looking for them. He begins dialoguing with them, and why? They're like, why are you hiding, Jesus said. Why are you hiding? And they're like, well, we're naked. And God's like, well, how did you know you're naked? How did you know that? And did you eat from the tree that I told you not to? And so they begin dialoguing, and God had to thrust them out of the garden because he did not want them to eat from the tree of life now that they've sinned. And at that moment, sin entered the world. Death entered the world. And Jesus came to bring the kingdom. He healed diseases. He cast out devils. But the last enemy to be destroyed was death. That's the last enemy to be destroyed. And when Jesus Christ, when he was resurrected from the dead, while his kingdom was displayed through his whole life, he was the king that had been born in a manger. He is healing. He's fulfilling the scriptures. There's power on the cross. He's the Passover lamb. But when he walked out of that tomb alive, he is the first fruits of those that have died. And he has defeated death. And his kingdom is the rule and reign of Jesus. And the thing in this world that we see darkness, we see, I have no idea what happened on my street Friday night. I was trying to go to bed, and there were all these lights flashing, and I heard yelling in the streets, and so I kind of sneaked back into the back bedroom, and I'm looking out the window. I mean, people are, they're wailing on each other. People are screaming and hollering, and there's, you know, all these, and I was like, Chicago. What's going on? Like, what is going on? And there's just an increase in hostility, isn't there? Doesn't take long, and there's all this hostility, all this animosity, all this hatred, and the world is it's becoming darker, isn't it? And we don't know what's going to happen in the world, but when we look at the world, what does it mean, the kingdom of God? Is it just some theory? And we see what Jesus did, and he rose from the grave, but what does it practically mean? You and me, what does that practically mean? You all, it means that all things are under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed was death. And Jesus defeated death. And now that he's resurrected and he sent his spirit, his His kingdom is going to come, and it's coming through his people. The kingdom of God is not just a building. A tornado could come, you know, tomorrow. We've had all kinds of storms recently. A tornado could come and blow this church off its foundation. Does that mean this church is gone? No, because this church is not a building. The church of Jesus Christ is his people that love him, that follow him, that are filled with his Holy Spirit. And I love what happened with that woman coming and praying for John for so many reasons. So beautiful. It's so beautiful. But it's such a great illustration of how the kingdom of God is supposed to come. Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God has come in Jesus Christ. It's come. But how is it progressing and moving forward? It moves forward through his people, through you, through me, as we're filled with the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not just me coming up here and preaching a message. The kingdom of God is hearing the word of God, hearing it, and then doing it and being filled. It's not just words, but it's power. Jesus said, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, when he comes upon you, he will give you power. He will give you power. That is why he came. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done. How will that be accomplished? As I just said, us being filled with the Holy Spirit and moving and flowing with him. I had a humbling moment this past week. I sat down. It's been so nice outside, hasn't it? It's been so beautiful. And I was sitting on the porch and just journaling and writing. And as I was just listening and praying, Lord, speak to me, I had this scripture come to mind. And it was, I think it was Luke chapter 6. And it was, why do you say, Lord, 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 and not do what I say? The church of Jesus Christ is his followers that are filled with him, that hear his voice, and then obey what he says. That woman last Sunday had a choice. She could have been too busy. She could have been too afraid. Oh, that's, he'll think I'm stupid. I don't have time to do that. But she was obedient. She was obedient. And it blessed him. And it was the presence of Jesus to John when he really believed in him. And you all, that is what the kingdom of God is like. And as we are living in this world, and it's an increasingly dark place, we need to get a grasp on the kingdom of God. Revelation 11:15. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Jesus is seated on the throne, and he rules and reigns forever and ever. And his kingdom comes to the earth now through who? It's through you. It's through all of us. As we yield, as we say yes, as we follow him. Does Du Quoin need to see that right now? Does it need to see a people who love Jesus? Who are merciful, who are kind, who are loving, who are forgiving? Does Du Quoin need to see that? Yes. There are people that are hurting, that need a touch. And how are they gonna hear? How are they gonna see? You all, it's through us. When we pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done, you know what we're praying? We're praying, Lord, let your kingdom come through me. Let me be a vessel. Lord, your kingdom come. And we're aligning ourselves with him and his kingdom, the rule and reign of Jesus. And we can only do that if we're first aligned with him. And we're saying yes to him. And it begins with a yes. And then it's a constant yielding to him. The world needs to see it. Du Quoin needs to see it. Southern Illinois stand on and believe right now is that Jesus does reign. He rules and reigns. He holds all things in his hand. He's the beginner. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginner and the finisher. And he's everything in between. And he reigns. And he wants to come through us to save a lost and dying world. May we say yes to him. Let's stand and sing, Our God Reigns. Up with your spirit, God. I speak peace over your people. Give us courage and